Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Questions People Ask, Part 2, Life's Important Concerns. In this session, we'll be looking at John chapter 8 and verse 32. What is truth? Let's read John chapter 18, verses 37 and 38. During the trial of Jesus, Pilate questioned him about his kingdom. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Pilate's cynical response is a perspective that pervades our culture today. In fact, it is common today for someone to flatly deny the truth, that truth exists. But the denial of truth never extinguishes truth. Defining truth can be a problem. There are variations in the definition, depending on where you look. Just a few common references. Dictionary.com, the state of matter in conformity with reality. That's truth. Wikipedia, to be in accord with fact or reality. That's truth. Merriam-Webster Dictionary, fidelity, constancy, fact, actuality. That's truth. For this message, we define truth as an understanding of the facts that corresponds to reality. Why do we demand concrete truth in the physical realm, but deny absolute truth in the spiritual realm? What makes something true? How do we know what is true? Jesus said very matter-of-factly, he stated in John chapter 8 and verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Last time we looked at the question, does God really exist? If we believe that God exists, we must then ask, has he spoken? The Bible is God's message of love to the world. The Bible doesn't just contain truth, it is truth. Consider the following views of truth. First, the secular approach. Truth is perspective. The basis for this truth is opinion. This approach depends on two variables. Consensus, the idea that the majority opinion determines the truthfulness of something. By the way, this thinking paved the way for Hitler. The majority can squash the minority, even if something is not actually true. Situational ethics. Relativism is characterized by the phrase, "truth for me." But what happens when your truth conflicts with my truth? There's no standard for determining truth. It is simply a matter of expedience. The secularist believes that truth changes. Every opinion is tolerated, except Christianity, because of its non-changing standard. And then second, the religious approach. Truth is tradition. The world is full of religions, each of which claims to possess the truth. And our so-called tolerant society tells us they're all right. All religions are basically teaching the same thing. But is that statement true? Should we challenge religious beliefs? Well, yes. And as Christians, we welcome challenges. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." When comparing the truthfulness of two religious claims, there are only two options. Both claims are false, or one is truth and one is false. Consider comparisons between any monotheistic, you know, single God system of belief, like Judaism, Christianity, or Islam, and any polytheistic, multiple gods system of belief, like Hinduism, Shintoism, or animalism. They may both be false, but they cannot both be true. And then third, the scientific approach. Truth is facts. Many view science as an infallible God. There must be verifiable empirical data. In fact, even Christians are often afraid to question scientific findings, not wanting to be viewed as uninformed. Scientists claim to be unbiased and neutral, but they're influenced by politics, atheistic views, and evolutionary theories, and some blind spots in thinking. That doesn't make them evil, just human. Science can discover facts about our world, but it can't make moral judgments regarding those facts. Any scientific truth, and scientific truth doesn't necessarily affect human behavior. Studying math won't make a drug addict give up his drugs. A biology course won't encourage a person to stop lying. Science can't know everything, especially in the spiritual realm, because there are limits to data collection. For example, the discussion of global warming. This theory is accepted by much of the scientific community as fact. But what if the data moves away from the theory? What must a scientist do with the facts? The data must be reevaluated and adjusted with new information. The hottest year ever recorded was 1998. But the next 12 years in a row were cooler than that year. What do we do with the global warming theory? Fourth is the scriptural approach. Truth is a person. Has God spoken? And if so, what has he said? As Christians, we believe that God has spoken and that he has revealed himself through his word, the Bible. Consider a few biblical truth claims. These form a foundation for understanding the source of truth. Objective truth exists. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth. The truth. Biblical truth exists independent of anyone's acceptance of it. Absence of truth creates bondage. John chapter 8, verse 32. B, the second part of it, and the truth shall make you free. Spiritual bondage results from an ignorance of biblical truth. Application of truth liberates. Again, John 8, verse 32, the second part of it, and the truth shall make you free. Biblical truth only liberates if you believe it and apply it to your life. God's word is truth, John 17, 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. God has spoken. God desires to communicate with us. God's communication is consistent with his nature. God breathed his word into existence. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Jesus embodies truth. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he is the source of truth. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Lew Wallace, the former governor of New Mexico, was writing a book against Jesus Christ, and in the process was converted to Christianity. He told a friend how it happened. He says, I had always been an agnostic and denied Christianity, Wallace said. Robert C. Ingersoll, a famous agnostic, was one of my most intimate friends. He once said, see here, Wallace, you're a learned man and a thinker. Why don't you gather material and write a book to prove the falsity concerning Jesus Christ, that no such man has ever lived, much less the author of the teachings found in the New Testament? Such a book would make you famous. It would also be a masterpiece and a way of putting an end to the foolishness about the so-called Christ. Wallace went home and told his wife about the project. She was a member of the Methodist Church and did not like the idea, but Wallace began to collect material from libraries all over the world that covered the period in which Jesus Christ should have lived. He did that for several years and then began writing. He was four chapters into the book, he says, when it became clear to him that Jesus Christ was just as real a personality as Socrates, Plato, or Caesar. The conviction became a certainty. I knew that Jesus Christ had lived because of the fact connected with the period in which he lived. So he asked himself candidly, if he was a real person, was he not then also the Son of God and the Savior of the world? Gradually, Wallace realized that since Jesus Christ was a real person, he probably was the one he claimed to be. I fell on my knees to pray for the first time in my life, and I asked God to reveal himself to me, forgive my sins, and help me to become a follower of Christ. Toward morning, the light broke into my soul. I went into my bedroom, woke my wife, and told her that I had received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. She said, oh, Lou, I prayed for this ever since you told me of your purpose to write the book, that you would find him while you wrote it. Wallace went on to write a famous book. Every time you watch the film, Ben-Hur, based on that book, know that it was written by a man who wanted to disprove that Jesus ever existed and instead became convinced that he was the greatest man who ever lived. You have a great day.